Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
You may know 100 people. There may only be 2 that have a heart that's ready. But how will you ever know if you don't plant seeds? If the seeds aren't planted, there are people that are ready to receive right now. The harvest is ready. Look up. You don't need to prepare for the harvest. There are people ready to come to Christ now if we go out and plant those seeds.
Christian, you have been placed in your neighborhood, in your workplace, even in your family for a specific reason. If God has called you to follow Him as a born-again believer, then you are also a seed planter to those who are around you. It's not your responsibility to lead others to salvation in one moment, but to simply share the joy that is Jesus within you. Tell others what Christ has done for your life. That's how we plant a seed. We water and we harvest. We are in our series, I Believe. Here's more from John chapter 4, verses 27 through 42 with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Jesus didn't care about barriers that humans put up. Jesus broke through those barriers. He cared about barriers God put up, but He didn't care about barriers people put up. He broke through them all. He came to minister to women like this. He came to minister to men who were at the bottom of the barrel. And He came to minister to those who feel like they are not loved, yet God doesn't want them. He came to you. Jesus Himself said a doctor doesn't go to those who are well. The doctor goes to those who are sick. So the Son of Man came to save sinners. That was this woman. Verse 28, when the disciples showed up, the woman probably felt uncomfortable. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to them, "Come and see a man who told me all things I ever did." It's been pointed out that she didn't go and talk to the women of the city. It's interesting that this woman goes and talks to the men of the city. It's also interesting that she says to these men, "Come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did." Someone said some of those men might have been really interested that somebody told her everything she ever did. They're like, "Well, I got to go see this guy too." And then she says, "Could this be the Christ?" Look at the response. Then they went out of the city and came to Him. What was this woman's tool of evangelism? Did she use some slick method she learned in evangelism school? Did she go onto a website and check out how I can lead people to Christ and then go out and try to use that method? Nope. She just went and told her story. She was led by the Spirit to go and say, "Come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did." She, again, that's all she knew. She didn't have answers to their questions. She couldn't quote scriptures to them. She simply told them what God did in their lives, and God used that to bring people to Christ. We may feel inadequate. In fact, I'm quite sure most people do. When we understand that it's a tag team match, when we understand that one person plants, another man waters, and another's harvest, all of a sudden we understand that God is using us in a bigger picture. Sometimes when evangelism is taught, it's more of a Gomer pile than anything. You know what a Gomer pile is? Shame, shame, shame. You guys aren't out evangelizing. You should be. But it's not that. It's that we can plant seeds. And here's the thing. There may be seeds that you planted and didn't even know you planted 10 years ago that God brings to fruition. The Bible says that when we enter into heaven, we're going to have made friends in heaven. People that we've planted seeds and watered are going to greet us there. Isn't that a thought? What if when we get to heaven, everybody who we had a part in influencing for Christ will meet us there? For some Christians, it might be like a ghost town, tumbleweed blowing through. Nobody there. But I don't think so. Because I've said it before, and I think it's true. God uses us in ways that we don't even know. You have been filled with the Spirit. The glory of God is around you spiritually. Out of your life gushes torrents of living water. How can people not be affected by torrents of living water coming out of your life? Even if the enemy has persuaded you that you are ineffective. Listen, you may never change the world. Maybe you will. Maybe there's a Billy Graham here today. Maybe there's a D.L. Moody here today that will affect the world. You may never change the world, but no one can change your world like you can. No one can affect your world like you can. Your friends, your family, your acquaintances, your coworkers. You have access to pray for them. You have access to plant seeds. You have access to pray that God would use you. Pastor Chuck Smith, who founded Calvary Chapel back in 1968, used to say, we need to be like the billboards that I see that are empty and simply say, available now. We need to say to God, Lord, I'm available now. Use me today, however you want to use me. Years ago, when we only had one campus, I was working at the West Campus, and that morning we had our staff meeting, and afterwards I had prayed some, and I just felt like God wanted to use me, and I just had a sense that I wanted to be used by God, and so I prayed, Lord, use me today. Let me talk to someone about you. So I went to lunch. I had an old LTD without an air conditioner, by the way. I had it for 5 years here in Tucson without an air conditioner. Don't you feel sorry for me? See, I paid my dues with no air conditioner in Tucson, and the tire went flat. And I got out, and I get the jack out, and the jack was missing. And so I thought, well, this is how God gave me a flat tire so I can share it with somebody. So I kind of waited by the side of the road and waved people down. But no one would pull over. People were like, uh-uh, no eye contact, no eye contact, look away, look away, look away. No one would stop to help me. I just needed their jack. I should have had a sign. Just need a jack. That's all I need. So I thought, I'll go up to I was on Alvernon by 22nd. I thought, I'll go up, I'll catch the bus, I'll go to my buddy's house. He lived in an apartment down 22nd. And I'll just get him to drive me back over with his jack and change the tire. So I go to the bus stop, and while I'm walking, I'm thinking, God's going to have me share with someone on the bus. And I sit there for a while, and then I finally get up and I look at the time of the buses arrive, and I'm not even anywhere close. I could walk there before a bus is going to come by. So I finally go, I'm just going to walk there. So I start walking there. God doesn't want me to share with someone on the bus, I'm going to walk there. Now, this will tell you how long ago it was. As I'm walking down the street now to my buddy's house, a guy walks in front out of a side street with a boombox on his shoulder. And he's walking down the street, and he's rooted to the boombox, you know, as he's listening to his music. And I think, God wants me to share with him. So I try to catch him. But he's like walking to the music, and I'm walking, I'm trying to catch him. And all about halfway there, I'm like, okay, God doesn't want me to share with him. That's not the guy. So I get to my buddy's house, and he's not home. And so I turn around, and I sit down on the steps. And I'm thinking, I got to walk to a cell phone. There are no cell phones. I got to walk to a pay phone. I've got to, what am I going to do? I'm just trying to figure it out. When the door in the apartment next to my buddy opens up, and a guy walks out. The guy says, Pastor Robert? I'm like, yeah? Come to find out, this guy had walked away from the Lord 6 months ago deliberately. And the day before had prayed to give his life back to Christ. And God brought his pastor to the step on his front door to be able to pray with him, talk with him, and encourage him. Now, I share that story with you because I believe that if we will have a sense of anticipation, a sense of faith that God will use me, if we will say, Lord, I'm available now, that God will use us. But here's the thing, he might use you in ways you don't even know. Because that's the way that God does things. He does things sometimes behind the scenes. And you don't have to be some great evangelist. You don't have to be somebody who knows how to close the deal. You don't have to do a hard sell. Do you want to give your life to Jesus right now? Like a salesman. Some of you guys are salesmen. The hard sell is when you tell somebody, would you like to pay cash or would you like to put that on a credit card? To which you respond, I don't want to buy it. Never said I wanted to buy it. They're just trying to get you to. You don't have to bring them to that point. You just have to share Christ, water, and then say, you know, Jesus is at work. It's God that brings people to the Lord, and God raises up people who will be there in that moment of harvest. God uses people for harvest, and that might be you, but it doesn't have to be you. Now, look what happens. So these people are coming out now from the city to meet with Jesus, and in the meantime, it says, verse 31, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. You remember that Jesus had showed up at this well in the city of Sychar, and he was weary and tired, and the disciples went to buy food, all 12 of them. They show up at the end, and he's talking with this woman, and now they have food. So, Rabbi, eat. Jesus said to them, back to verse 32, but he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know. Therefore, his disciples said to one another, has anybody brought him anything to eat? This happened a lot. Jesus is using a spiritual principle to talk to them, and they were only thinking in the physical. Jesus is saying, we get it clearly here, verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Again, Christian, there is a sense by which you will never find true satisfaction or fulfillment until God's using you. God isn't going to use you in ways that he hasn't empowered you or called you to be used. He'll use you in the race that you've been called to run. You can't run my race. I can't run your race. You have to run your race, and I have to run my race. But there is a fulfillment, there is a satisfaction when you say, you know what, I'm leaving my water pot behind. She left her water pot, and she went and told people about Jesus. When we say, you know, before we come to Christ, we're living for our lives, we're still trying to get our bills paid, we're trying to make ends meet, we're trying to provide for our family. If we're a little bit older and have kids, we're trying to make money for them to be able to go to college or whatever it is. We're trying to do all those things. Then we come to Christ and our priorities change. Now, Jesus will take care of those things. The Bible says in Matthew 5 that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of these things will be taken care of by him. In other words, God says, if you'd be about my business, I'll be about your business. You go do what I want you to do. Seek the kingdom first, and I'll take care of these things. It's clear to us that God wants to use us for the sake of the gospel. The Old Testament says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, if you have desires that are ungodly, you think, well, I'm going to delight myself in the Lord, so God will give me the desires of my heart. But the thing is, when you delight yourself in the Lord, you discover your desires change. And now you want what God wants. Jesus said it this way, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. When you are attached to Jesus, when you are the vine, when you are the branch attached to the vine, then you find that your desires change. She left her water pot behind, and she went and she told people about Jesus. And suddenly we see a whole new priority for our lives. And that's where we find real satisfaction, like Jesus, to do the will of the Father. Now then Jesus says, there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Now, we don't know if this was 4 months out of harvest, or if it's a saying. Were they saying you plant the seeds and 4 months later you harvest it? There are 4 months to harvest. In other words, it's kind of a little bit of a proverb. You can't do a lot, but be patient. You plant the seeds, you water them, and you wait. 4 months later, the harvest comes. But behold, I say to you, Jesus went on to say, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. It might have been that it was harvest time, and they looked up and they saw the white fields, and Jesus is saying to them, there are people that need to hear the message of the gospel. It could be that the men of the city were leaving to come out and see him, which we learned earlier, and they had the typical white robes on of the Middle East in their day, and that they were in the fields. And Jesus said, look up, for the fields are ripe with harvest. In another place in Matthew, Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to bring harvesters. Hearts are ready right now. There are people around you. You may know 100 people. There may only be 2 that have a heart that's ready. But how will you ever know if you don't plant seeds? If the seeds aren't planted, there are people that are ready to receive right now. The harvest is ready. Look up. You don't need to prepare for the harvest. There are people ready to come to Christ now if we go out and plant those seeds. He goes on to say here, and he who reaps receives wages. Now, I like that. He says, when you reap, you receive wages. You're going to go out and do the work? Hey, God won't forget the work that you've done for people's eternal soul. We don't do it for wages. We don't go, I want to see a lot of people get saved. I want to see my family members and friends get saved. So when I get to heaven, I get rewards. That kind of would be the wrong motive. But Jesus is basically saying, like he does in other places, you will by no means lose your reward. Whatever you do for the kingdom of God, you won't lose your reward. He says, and gathers fruit for eternal life. That's our call. Whether you're planting a seed, whether you're watering, whether you're harvesting. He says that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. That is, when people come to the Lord, it doesn't matter to us whether we have sown, watered, or harvested. We all rejoice together because we are part of the work. He says, I sent you to reap that which you have not labored. God does that with me. At times I'll come to the end of a service and say, would you like to receive Jesus? And people raise their hands. They come to the Lord, and I am reaping what I have not sown. I realize for every person that raises their hand in a church service, people have sown seeds in their lives. And people have watered those seeds. We have worked together to do the work that God's called us to do. And so he says, I've sent you out to harvest what other people have reaped, and you have entered into their labors. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed because of the word of the woman who testified. Isn't that amazing? What was her great method of testifying to people? Come and meet a man who told me everything about myself. That was her testimony. And people believed because of it. Why? It wasn't about her words. It was about her sharing what God had done in her life. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Again, he's staying in Samaritan cities. And many more believed because of his own words. Hey, there's a chain reaction that happens. You share Christ with someone, and they share Christ with someone else, and they share Christ with someone else. There was someone who led Billy Graham to the Lord. I wonder if they share in the fruit, in the work that Billy Graham did. There was someone who brought D.L. Moody to the Lord, who had great revivals. Someone who brought Greg Laurie to the Lord. Someone who planted seeds in their life. First of all, I wonder if there might not be a Greg Laurie or a Billy Graham or a D.L. Moody in this very room. Who knows what God's doing or who God is calling or how many talents he's given you. The Bible says God gives some one, some five, and some 10. Maybe God's given 10 talents to somebody in this room, and God's going to use you like a Billy Graham. Who knows? And you're listening to seeds that have been planted by others. Maybe I've planted a seed in your life or watered that seed. God's the one that does the work, and they received just because of her simple words. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they said, or verse 42, they now say to the woman, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, but we ourselves heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. What an encouraging thing to say to this woman. We believe not because of what you said. But see, and this is important, people don't come to Jesus because you say something. People don't come to Jesus because you have a slick method of evangelism. People don't come to Jesus because you went to some evangelism school and learned some method to win them to the Lord. People come to Jesus because they met him, a very real Savior, because he began to work in their lives, because he talked to them, because he spoke to them, because he drew them, because he forgave them, because he started to do a work in their life. We were just the start. God allows us to throw some seeds out there. Skip Heitzig tells the story of his mom having a garden when he was a kid, and that she planted all kinds of things, but she never planted watermelons. But him and his brother learned that if they spit the watermelon seeds into his mom's garden, that watermelons would grow. And so they stood by the garden when they would eat their watermelon. Spit seeds. Skip then goes on to say, everywhere you go, spit seeds. Now, I don't know if that's the exact picture we want of evangelism, that I'm just out there spitting seeds. But know this, we do the work there, and God's the one who brings them in. He's the one who develops a very real relationship with them. And so that our work, we should be encouraged to do it, knowing that God faithfully uses us because is there not a cause? Stand up with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, we are blessed again to be encouraged by your word. We thank you for what you are doing in our lives. We pray now for our friends, our family who don't know you, our coworkers and acquaintances. Let us shine in front of them. Lord, use us like a billboard that says, available now. Let us be available for you. Use us later on today, use us tomorrow, use us this week for your glory and for their salvation. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. I'm also going to ask that no one would leave early. We're almost done. We'll dismiss you here shortly. If you know the Lord, would you pray for those who are here who don't? You know, the Bible says, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God, even to those who believe in his name. That means you have to receive him. He stands at the door and knocks. And if any man hears him knock and opens the door, Jesus will come in. You have been given control over the door of your life. If you don't want to live for Jesus, you don't have to open the door and invite him in. No one can make you do that. No husband can make their wife do it. No child, no parent can make their child do it. It has to be something you do. But if you're here today and you want to open the door of your life and you want to invite him in, then he is here to do a work and to come into your life. If you do that today, three things will happen. Number one, your sins will be forgiven. He will separate them as far as the east is from the west, and it doesn't matter how bad those sins are. That's why he came. That's why he bled. That's why he was crucified. Number two, you'll get to know him. You'll get to know the creator of the universe. Jesus said in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that you know the one true God and the Son whom he sent. And number three, God has a plan for you. God has a race for you to run. You will discover the very reason you were created, and God will use you. And like Jesus, who was fulfilled and satisfied by doing the work God gave him to do, you will find fulfillment in doing the work God has called you to do. If you're here today and you want to surrender your life to Christ, you want to invite him in, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Right where you are, just lift your hand now. Lift your hand up high. Let me see it. God bless you right here by the aisle to my right. God bless you, sir. Ma'am, underneath the balcony, and sir, under the balcony. That's great. Lift your hand up now. Lift it up high, up in the balconies. God bless you, sir. That's great. Back under the balcony here, down on the bottom floor. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you, sir, all the way in the back, on the my left-hand side. God bless you. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. I'm not going to go on and on, but I do want to give you an opportunity. If you want to say to him today, when I was 14, I invited Christ in, and my life was, well, it changed. It was never the same. God bless you up in the balcony. That's great. Anyone else? Just raise your hand now. God bless you, sir. All right. God bless you over here. You can put your hands down. And I would like everybody, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Listen, for a lot of you today, that was a difficult moment for you to come to, where you said to him, okay, Lord, I want you in my life. I'm inviting you in. But he said if you open the door, he would come in and dine with you. And I believe that God's going to transform you. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose for you. And God's going to begin to do that work in your life. God bless you guys. We'll see you later on.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org. where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.